Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week, sometimes, even when we're on vacation.
Sometimes two in a week.
Yeah, we'll do two in a week just for you. Make sure we always got content coming out.
If you're listening to this, we're across the world right now.
Across the pond.
Yeah, doing the Trade Writers World Tour.
Yeah.
Where we don't record any episodes.
Shout out to our Spanish listeners. We are in your country.
Yeah.
We have invaded.
Find us.
Yeah. So no news this week. Just nothing but content. Nothing but books.
Nothing but books. Screw the news.
Yeah, we don't need them.
Yeah.
And there's too much news that last week anyway, or 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
So
we're just going to get into the book?
Yeah, what did we read this week, Nathan?
We read The Crow.
We sure did.
Is it written and drawn by the same guy? James O'Barr?
Yes, sir.
Because he's the only name on here.
Yes, this is The Crow Special Edition. It was one of the re-releases in 2011, I think. Because this book came out in 1989 from Caliber Comics.
Yeah.
And has been re-released a handful of times.
There's been no other Crow. Is that right?
Comics?
Like, comics.
No, there's a shit ton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Wikipedia is extensive.
Really?
Even, I think Tim Seeley did the last run.
Whoa.
And James Barr did this run, and then another 3-issue run, and then that's like about it as far as Crow stuff.
And this one I think collects not just the original Crow run, right? Because there's like, I think, added stuff in there
I think there was some stuff that they added that were outside of just like the 5 issues. I thought this was 4 issues, but it's 5 issues.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was in the OG like releases of it, but there's a lot of stuff and not all of it seems necessary. So it might have been just like added in there.
Yeah.
Because it's the special edition or whatever.
What was your familiarity with The Crow before we read this?
So I heard people talk about it on other podcasts.
Uh-huh.
As it just being like the comic book property that was made into a movie in the 90s. I've seen like stills and maybe a couple clips of like the 1994 movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
Yeah. I know like nothing about it. I haven't seen any of the movies.
Very interesting.
I knew that there was one movie and I know that there's one coming out.
Correct.
That's why we're reading this.
Yeah, that'll come out when this comes out.
Yeah.
It's got Bill Skarsgård
as Mr. Crow.
And FKA Twigs as Shelley.
That's not a real name.
It's not. It's a stage name, Nathan.
Oh, okay.
So I listened to a great podcast by the Geek History Lesson.
The Crow
about The Crow. Yeah, they talk about The Crow. There's a couple things I picked up from there that I stole.
Okay, cool.
One of them being that this comic is very like self-referential in a way for James Barr's life. He doesn't like die and come back to life or anything.
Okay.
He found like the love of his life in like high school and they were going to get married like after graduation. But a week before graduation, she died in like a drunk driving accident.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So pretty brutal stuff.
So yeah, I could definitely feel a lot of that angst.
Yeah, a lot of emotion put into this.
Yeah, I didn't get the impression that this was somebody that was happy in their life.
Yeah,
like reading this.
And the events of this that happened to the characters in this, they were inspired by like something that you saw in the news. And there was a couple that was killed over like a $20 like engagement ring.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there's a few.
I did not know that.
A few things. Yeah. A lot of stuff.
What a fun fact.
There's plenty of. How about a funner fact?
Okay. Let's do funner facts.
So James O'Barr, he worked on this for about 10 years.
Wow.
And he kind of just made it for like himself. Like he didn't think it was going to be published. Hmm. He worked on it on the side while he worked as a mechanic.
Damn. Okay. Yeah.
This is like hand lettered. You know,
everything is done by hand.
Yeah. It looks like a very DIY kind of comic, like a very self-published kind of thing.
Yeah.
Caliber Comics, their goal was to help people like self-publish their stuff. It's like a black and white comic. It's very like Sin City-esque.
In
my opinion.
I don't know if I would. I think Sin City has its own style of black and white for sure.
Yeah.
This feels more like almost manga black and white at some points.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
There's different like art styles in this, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's really diverse.
It's some stuff looks almost like painted or like kind of like not like hard lines or anything. It's like shaded, almost like a smeared.
Yeah, like a watercolor type thing, or like brush.
Definitely.
Versus like ink pens.
There's a lot of like non-traditional pages, which I think is what you're talking about with the stuff that they added to this that were just outside of the five issues.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that it felt like some of the panels were like too small for like the art that's in them?
Yeah. If some of the panels are very detailed and rendered.
Yeah.
And there's not enough real estate for my eyes to look at what's going on.
Yeah, there's always,
and I read
like,
on like a tablet too, which is like a little bit bigger than a traditional page.
Sure.
And I could zoom in, you know, so I had to do that a couple times when normally I don't really have to zoom in on like the tablet page.
Yeah.
But I mean, that just shows like how much was put into this. Like,
yeah.
And it seems like that sort of level of detail fluctuates throughout the book, but there's some like really like rendered like, you know, cross hatching that he does to like shade some of the things. And so there's like a lot of lines on the page at some points.
Yeah. What I mean by that is like they'll have a panel and then like someone in it, you know, they'll take up most of the panel, but he'll still draw like the background in there with whatever space is left.
Yeah.
And so it can be like a little
hard to process,
cramped, I guess, but still really solid and better than I can draw for sure. There's a Brandon Lee memorial page.
Yeah.
Just kind of because this is well after the movie was done. And I thought that was neat that they just added that in there.
That is neat.
Someone who definitely made the property much more popular.
Definitely. I think that the cover, the crow looks like a frog.
A little bit, sure.
He gives a little bit of frog vibes.
Does that make you very scared, Nathan?
I think going into this book, I was like, don't know about this.
whoa.
Even by the end, I'm like, don't know about this. But there's definitely like some masterclass art going into this.
Yeah.
And so that definitely carries me through. And this is like 200 and this whole thing's like 270 pages.
Yeah.
But feels pretty brisk, I would say.
Yeah. Very light. Well, it's not light reading, but like is a lot of heavy stuff. But yeah. Like it's not dense at all. And there's a lot of pages where there's not even words.
There's definitely a couple silent pages where it's like weird trippy dream sequences, and I think the amount of time that he switches up his art style keeps my brain like interested, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't get dull.
Yeah, because like whenever he does like a switch up in art style, even if it is like a pretty dense wordy page, it's kind of like a page break or something, like in my, if you're like reading like a normal book, where it's like, okay, cool, like I just reached a different part of the book, I can keep going. And it feels nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, almost so
the
like,
pacing of it's very interesting.
It kind of reminded me of whatever happened to the Caped Crusader, where there was like these little like 8-pagers that they had in the back. But they kind of have these like in between where it's like, it's almost like a flashback or something for Eric. And so that did help break it up, you know. And here's then the issues themselves weren't that long.
Here's a gripe I have with the book.
Okay.
Why call this man the crow if there's a the crow in the crow?
What?
So this man is the crow.
Yeah.
But he also talks to the crow.
Yes. The crow gives him his power, Nathan.
And so when I'm like, write my notes, I'm like, okay, the crow does this. And then it's like the crow, but like the bird, the crow does this. And this is the only problem that I have because no one's writing notes really on this book, you know, to retell it unless you're doing like an essay or something. But
a little fun fact about the movie. Because I also watched that.
Nice.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
So there's like a crow in the movie, you know, and it's with him like a little bit more than it is in the book, kind of always on his shoulder kind of thing. And the crow in the crow is not a crow.
What?
It's actually a raven. Because ravens are bigger.
Did they know? Okay.
The raven actor, his name's Magic. His name Magic the Raven.
Okay.
He's in like the first three like crow movies. But yeah, he's like a raven because I guess he's bigger.
Three crow movies?
There's like five.
Whoa.
Not all well regarded, and some of them are like TV movies and stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, I guess it's just bigger and works better on camera to have this like bigger raven.
Yeah.
Than the crow. And they got us. They got all of us. So it's not really the crow.
But crows look like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess they look like ravens.
Did you know, this is off topic.
More fun facts?
This is a fun fact. You know, like, you know, the bald eagle is like America's bird.
Sure.
And you know what, like, the bald eagle sounds like when he does like that screech thing?
Yeah.
That's a hawk. Bald eagles don't sound like that.
They don't make noises?
They don't really make a noise that sounds cool. And so, like, America propagandized, like, how a bald eagle sounds so that it makes you think that it's a cool, fierce sound, but they sound quite bitchy. And so they, like...
It's like, meh.
Yeah, it's something like that. And, like, the hawk one has that, like, fierce screech and stuff. And yeah. I just learned that, like, a month ago. And I was like, holy fuck.
That's crazy. I love that.
I've been baited.
We've all been fooled.
I've was feeling so patriotic up until that moment.
Damn.
Anyway, let's get into this book, Daniel. Oh, by the way, we mentioned it's 280 pages. There's not like a whole lot that happens in this.
Yeah, no, you can kind of describe it in like a sentence, probably. You can
like cut out some of the people that he kills. So I'm interested in like why he chose the number of gangsters that the Crow kind of like hunts down.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of them are that different from each other or that much more significant than the other.
Yeah, and some like look similar.
Yeah.
Just because they're just like junkies, you know, and they just kind of look the same.
Like there's a Tintin and then there's a Tom Tom.
Ooh.
And it's like, I think you could just keep one or the other, you know. I don't know if you need both of them, but anyway.
But there's like it. There's like so much stuff in this that the book doesn't really start, like book one doesn't start until page 26.
Yeah, it starts with a prologue. So there's a dude named Mr. Jones who just stole like a computer from somewhere, and there's a weird emo man that appears in front of him saying that he knows T-Bird. And then he lists four names: Tom Tom, Top Dollar, Fun Boy, and Tintin. So again, there's Tom Tom and Tintin in this. And it's the Tintin you're thinking of.
Yeah.
That Tintin. As in Adventures of Tintin. It's the Crom versus Tintin. Or the Crow versus Tintin.
The Dutch character Tintin.
Yeah. Mr. Jones stabs this weird emo man, but he pulls it out painlessly, and the man threatens to torture Mr. Jones unless he gives him some information on the other four men, which he does. And then the man leaves, telling Mr. Jones to tell his friends. And then there's like a change in setting. We see the Crow, but he's like a younger man on a train. He sees a beautiful horse out the window, but he runs into barbed wire, like a barbed wire fence, and he gets like tangled in it. And it's very, very sad because it's a beautiful horse, but he's like getting all bloody because he's tangled up in this barbed wire. And then a Crow pulls up next to him on the train, saying that he shouldn't have looked. And then there's like a skeleton that asks for his ticket. And
yeah, he's called the Skull Cowboy.
The Skull Cowboy.
On Crow Reddit and things like that.
Oh, Crow Reddit, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Crow Reddit. Credit.
Credit.
Some credit.
There's a lot of like poetry. There's like poems throughout the book.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like, it's in like his dialogue.
It's pretty cool, actually. I like that aspect of it, actually.
I didn't read all of them.
I didn't.
I like tapped out.
I like the idea that they're there, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think it adds to the vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the first aspect of like changes in art style. Typically, it goes a lot brighter and a change in the strategy of how he makes the art when there's like a flashback change in setting. Because it's like a different time in Eric's life. He's not emo and depressed and immortal. He's just Eric enjoying life. And so that makes like this scene with like the horse tangled in barbed wire a lot more jarring, because it's like, this is supposed to be a happy time, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But then we go into book one. The Crow is walking around the city and he finds one of the men, Tintin, the bald little kid, little bitch. He buys a gun from a dealer. Tintin instantly shoots his two dealers and a random old woman who just caught a stray, I guess. And then Tintin runs into the Crow. The Crow shoots Tintin in the arm, and then the Crow asks if he remembers the man and woman he and his friends killed a year ago. And then Tintin recognizes the Crow as the man that his friends killed a year ago, and then he's shot. There's like some cool pages here where there's like random fragments of like of Eric's past that are kind of like thrown in with the present here. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear like what that is. Like, he's very clearly mourning over like a girl. And I think that plays well into like what's going on in the present, which has like that manga almost art style.
Yeah, it's like his memory of what he's doing this for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it also spliced in with what's currently happening and like the revenge he's enacting.
Yeah, like we don't really know what happened yet or like the full story, but you know, it's very easy and clear to tell, like, these are the brighter panels. It's a lot lighter feel. This is from the past. So yeah, he does that very well. There's also just like very creative composition, like pages. Like there's this one where he's like sitting alone in his room and there's like, you know, Polaroid pictures kind of like floating around.
Yeah.
So he's like very creative, I feel like, for the time. Like I would see a page like that and be like, that's a cool page.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I can't even imagine like before the time. This is before like the crazy wacky Vertigo books and shit are coming out. So I think he's pretty ahead of his time in that sense.
Yeah.
So the Crow then goes to kill Top Dollar, who was leading like a criminal meeting, until the Crow comes in and he starts blasting. And he eventually gets to question Top Dollar to see if he remembers killing the men and the woman a year ago, but he just kills him too.
So he shoots Top Dollar like in the face.
Yeah.
And then Top Dollar like sits up with like a bullet hole in his eye.
Yeah.
And then he gets shot again.
Which is interesting. I like a lot of these like splash pages that he does. Because like there's this one, they're like very...
The one that says like the kill?
There's a couple of them in here, but they're all like pretty detailed. I specifically like this one where he's like sitting outside like the windowsill.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's like what a cool like little page. Or like there's ones where they're all like all the criminals are like around the table and stuff like that. He knows how to like set up a setting and like use a splash page to be like, this shit's about to go down almost.
Yeah.
Or really focus on like a very emotional moment, because there's another one in the sequence where it's just him looking sad, like outside a window, and it's like raining outside. And so, you know, obviously, like there's a lot of pages like this where it's like it's pretty easy to, you know, skim through it if you want. But there's a lot of really good like black and white practices going on here, because he uses the like white space of the rain to define like where the roof is and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I always like seeing that, because I always feel like
it doesn't really feel like it's absent of color.
No, dude, 100%.
Like it, if like you could like put color in this, but I don't know if it'd like necessarily add anything.
You know, what's funny is I feel like if this was colored, if someone decided to release a colored edition of this book, the Crow would just be black and white anyway.
Yeah, because
so there's not much more you're really adding to this.
Because like in the, I don't think it's like he's canonically painting his face white, but he paints his face white like in the movie.
Yeah.
And then does like the eyeliner or whatever.
Yeah. I always figured in here he's just a pale guy.
Yeah.
It seems like so. He's also really good at doing like close-up stuff, like details of like guns and stuff when that's a thing. So like this panel of like the revolver, it's like very detailed, but then also stylized, because there's like the smoke coming out of the gun and it just like has like really good noir feel.
Yeah.
Like that.
He draws like the best forearms.
Dude, the
I don't
forearms,
know if you noticed the forearms.
I did.
Everyone's absolutely shredded.
Everyone.
And there's so many like, imaginary muscles in like the forearms.
And there's like a lot of imaginary muscles in like obliques too, I noticed. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, where do you get those?
I guess like the Crow movie is like kind of the first time a character really gets into shape, or like an actor really gets into shape to portray a character, because I guess Brandon Lee just really wanted to look exactly like the like Eric in this.
When did the movie come out?
1994.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
So he's the reason why all these superhero actors need to get
shredded or
in
huge.
Like 2 months.
Exactly.
There's a daydream sequence and we find out the Crow is named Eric and he proposed to his girlfriend Shelly. And then the actual Crow, like the bird, warns Eric not to look. And then like also just in this trippy dream sequence, Shelby is shot by the skeletal figure from before. What do we call him? The skull cowboy from before. And this is maybe one of the best pages I've ever seen in comics.
Oh yeah, that's fucking sick.
This goes so unbelievably hard where it's like the skull cowboy, he's got a smoking gun, he's just like really cool looking. It's very impressive black and white art, I would say.
Yeah. Did you ever take like an art class where they had those like lead pieces of paper or whatever and just scratch into it?
Oh, a lead paper? No.
Yeah, it was like some weird piece of paper had this coat on it and it was black. Mm-hmm. And then when you scratch into it, there'd be white under it.
Oh yeah, I have done those.
Yeah, it looks like this could have been that.
Yeah.
Or if you did that in art class, you would have gotten a fucking A because that would have been so sick.
What's cool about this is like, you know, it's done traditionally because you see a lot of the texture of like the canvas that he was like working on. And that is sick. I don't know. Like, it's just cool to see.
Yeah. It seems so like genuine.
Yeah. You know? That would be like a filter in Photoshop now, I feel like.
Yeah.
If people were like trying to use that.
The paper filter.
But like, you know, that wasn't a thing before. And like, something about it makes it feel like that like comforting kind of like old grain in like a TV show or movie.
Yeah.
And so like, I get that feel from this. And it's like the same exact like dopamine that hits my brain when I see that.
Yeah. We know when like, they like sign the corner that this page goes fucking hard.
Dude, I love when they do that.
It's just such a flex.
It's because like, yeah, that shit was me.
Yeah, Joe
don't
Barr.
Don't forget it. Yeah, you know that Eric and Shelley are fucking all the time.
Oh yeah, there's a ton of that.
They're so in love, but they fuck like rabbits, you know. So, like every flashback, it's like, oh, I remember that one time when we fucked by a Christmas tree, or like I remember that time we fucked in a tub.
Yeah.
It's just like it's all throughout this. Again, there's like the flashback's very innocent, and then it gets interrupted by, you know, Shelley getting shot in the head, and it feels very reminiscent of the white horse that gets caught in barbed wire.
Ooh.
I think it's a very good metaphor that he does here.
Yeah, something that he can't like stop. You know?
It's like something that he's very appreciative of. He's, you know, in awe at like the perfection of this creature, and then it like gets very perversely taken away.
It almost looks like the flashback pages are just done by someone else.
Yeah, it's so different. Like, there's no threads of like the manga feel.
Like this one specifically, like there's a lot of outlines and stuff, and even like his face just looks a little different.
Yeah,
you know?
Just like all of the artistic style that goes into it is just completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's kind of insane. Like, you don't even see like little traces of like the present day like art style in this flashback stuff, because it's like it feels so different.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. So book two, the crow is training. He does a lot of pull-ups, one arm push-ups, crunches, and of course, Daniel, some ballet.
Yeah, of course.
And the crow goes to confront the next man, which is Tom Tom. He takes a katana and he kills the light in the room, and then he cuts Tom's feet off. And the crow wants to know where his... While he's standing, yeah.
The worst way to get your feet cut off.
Yeah, it's like when in anime, when they cut you in half and you're like, so there, and then you slide off.
Yeah.
But he did that with his fucking ankles, dude.
Yeah.
And
I love when he like says that. He's like, hey, my feet are cold. Can you get my boots? And I'm like,
fuck. He's just in shock.
Who's going to tell him?
No, yeah. Like, oh, here you go. And he hands him with the feet already inside. So the crow wants to know where his engagement ring is, which is, I guess, at Gideon's shop. The crow is ripped. Obviously, this is like the first time we kind of see him shirtless, kind of running around. But you can tell he has like such a good understanding of anatomy and how like muscles stretch when he's like doing ballet and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can tell he's done like a lot of anatomy studies, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, pretty effortless at it. So he does it a lot. Like where, you know, the crow's doing like these weird figures and he's, you know, he's nailing some of that anatomy, except for the extra muscles, but it's more of an artistic choice. And I kind of like that we're learning what happened on the day that Eric and Shelley were killed from the people that the crow is hunting down. Because we're kind of learning like a little bit more with each person that he's hunting down.
Yeah.
Because like with this person, he's like, where's my engagement ring?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if we knew that they were engaged at this point. I think we did, but it's like, oh, okay, they took her engagement ring. That's a new element to this that we didn't know before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because there's like the pages of him proposing.
Yeah. Also, the action with the katana is really cool. I wish we saw more of it, but like that actual panel where he cuts the dude's feet off,
mm-hmm.
you know, we see the motion of like the gun and like the motion of the katana. There's like a little swoosh in there that's like pretty subtle.
I love a good swoosh.
Some good lettering in here. So this guy he knows what he's doing. It's very clear. So the crow breaks into Gideon's shop to find the engagement ring. Gideon is in there. He tries to shoot the crow, but the crow stops that pretty quick. And then he gets Shelley's ring. The crow starts dousing the place in kerosene. And I wrote in parentheses gas because I didn't know that. to burn it all down. He's stopped by like a cop that shows up. But the crow's like, I'm just going to leave and I'm going to blow this place up. And the cop is like a little bit scared, so he just like lets him.
So he like shoots up Gideon, yeah, right? And then the cop's like, what happened to him? And then the crow's like, lead poisoning. that was fucking hilarious.
That is a good line.
I'm like, oh, it's like the best line in this book.
Also, like, some fucking detective you are. What happened to him? You know?
And he's walking out with like a Nike bag full of guns.
Yeah.
You know?
You'd think he'd let him go. I like how hard it goes when he challenges the cop to like shoot him by like putting his head on like the barrel of the gun.
Yeah.
Because if this was made in like 2024, he would have gotten shot like 6 times.
Yeah.
Before he even like closes like a 10-foot distance.
Before he walks in the door.
Yeah. Before he even knows what's going on, he's just shooting everybody up.
Yeah. So,
but the crow leaves and he tells the cop to send his regards to Chief Captain Hook. And then the shop explodes. So the cop is named Hook and he's the captain. So he's Captain Hook. And this is just like a weird element in this book, I feel like.
Yeah. What was this cop's name?
Hook?
No, that's the chief, isn't it?
Oh, the cop that lets him go? Albrecht?
Albrecht, yeah.
Yeah.
There was this interesting page where like they're on the phone and it's just this like paragraph of like their dialogue, mm-hmm. like as it would be in a book. And yeah. I think that's effective rather than just keep drawing the same panels to show that there's a conversation going on.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah. And then you like, you can tell who's talking and who's who because they like say each other's names enough and you like get the conversation. And it's not that important of a conversation to have, but it's written pretty naturally. So yeah, I agree. I think that's a good way to approach it. Eric remembers back to Christmas time when Eric and Shelley are decorating together and then they fuck. And then in the present, the crow goes to where Fun Boy lives, who's another criminal. He sees a little girl who's like on the steps outside of the house. And the crow talks to him. And he even gives this little girl his engagement ring as like a gift before he goes in. And the crow confronts Fun Boy. He, you know, gets the little girl's mom to like get out of there so that he could just talk to Fun Boy. And then he grabs Fun Boy's morphine and tells Fun Boy to meet him at Gin Mill. And that's how that issue ends. But Fun Boy's shirtless in this. He's also insanely ripped. And I feel like just every dude in this book has like 2% body fat.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can understand if like the crow does. He's like immortal. Maybe he has some like powers or reason to be that way.
Yeah.
But like Fun Boy's a gangster, you know. I guess it makes sense he's like kind of ripped, but he's like the same kind of ripped
right.
that the crow is, so it's kind of funny.
You expect like kind of like the junkie kind of skinny.
Yeah.
You know?
Is morphine like a drug that people use to get high?
Yeah. It's mostly for like surgery and stuff.
Yeah.
But like you can get it like off the street.
If you get just like a little bit in you, you're just feeling good. Is that how it goes?
I imagine, yeah.
Okay.
I never really got sick of him going up to somebody that he was like planning on killing and then like
just talking to him.
They just like don't know that he can't be killed, you know? And they're like trying to threaten him. I'm like, oh, go for it.
Yeah, because he like they connect the dots eventually. They're like, oh, that's the guy that I killed. Now he's in front of me. Let me just kill him again, you know?
Yeah.
And then that just like never works.
This is based in Detroit. That's not really like that important. That's where like James O'Barr's from.
I just assumed it was New York. So
that's yeah, good that was just like something that pops up. I was like, where the fuck is this? And then there's something about the crow can like control cats or something, like
yeah,
as like, he's talking like more cats show up in like the stairwell.
There's definitely like a cat element to this that I don't really understand symbolism.
Yeah, necessarily.
I think what's a little bit on the nose is that the little girl that he talks to and he like feels sympathy for is named Sherry, which is very close to his fiance Shelly, who dies.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, let me be nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been, I think, any other name, but it's just, it seems weird, like a weird choice to name her something pretty close.
So they like actually expand on that character in the movie that I think is like better than the book.
Cool.
Yeah. Her name's Sarah in that. So they like they change.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Good name.
Close enough. And then he like after the crow like takes like some morphine and I think he like injects himself with it.
Yeah. He does stick some in his neck. And I don't know what that does for him. Maybe he just feels good.
So maybe he like is still feeling all this like pain, but like as far as like being shot and stuff. But
yeah, I never got that like intention, I guess, because he gets like he's pretty open to getting shot and like stabbed and stuff.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of wincing and pain. It could be that like he's just like in so much pain emotionally that he like likes the pain.
Maybe.
Which does come into play later. But maybe he, like, is still... maybe he doesn't feel physical pain, but, like, the morphine kind of helps fuzz his mind with, like, the emotional stuff.
Yeah, that's
what I would take from that.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah, I did see that. That was interesting. And I'm like, does he just like drugs too now? Or
mm-hmm.
So... but now we go into book three.
There's so many title cards.
Yeah, I like that, though.
I'm like, immolation. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How's that going
to
play?
Book three, irony. So the crow, he goes to church. I think he prays in there. Then he grabs his gun and heads up to the gin mill where he told Fun Boy to meet him.
There's a lot of biblical stuff in this. Like, it seems like he's like reciting a lot of passages of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
which I think is always kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see how each character has a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Especially somebody like this that it's is so violent, chopping people's feet off.
Yeah.
You know, and shooting people with guns.
I would say if you want like
injecting himself with morphine,
scary dialogue, definitely just start saying biblical shit.
Yeah.
Because it's just weird. You know?
Yeah. You're like, okay, this guy.
It's like, how do you remember all that?
Yeah, how do you remember that? How do you justify doing this with religion? Because there's some pretty clear guidelines, I would say, about cutting people's feet off or injecting yourself with morphine, you know?
Pretty frowned upon.
Yeah. So the fact that, like, you know, they use that as some sort of thing. But he's really good at cityscapes, just environments in general. Like, this church, I think, looks really good.
Like, different alleys and stuff.
Yeah, or, like, these candles have, like, that little glow circle around them.
Dude, look at this neon sign.
The neon sign's great, but, like, look at just the buildings like behind him and how they like fade into like sort of these more abstract markings, but like
I love bricks.
You understand like
when you
what,
see bricks on a building, I'm like, yeah, some good bricks right
like,
there.
Like you get what he's going for, and I'm like, this looks like a picture perfect New York, but like as you
Detroit.
But as you like look closer, you know, he makes like just a bunch of nonsense with those markings, but they're so deliberate. So I just think it's really good. So he heads to the gin mill where he told Fun Boy to meet him. He injects himself with some morphine, which is cool. And then there's a fight between Fun Boy and his boys against the crow. And he beats all of them, obviously, and then he promises Fun Boy a painless death if he tells the crow where to find T-Bird. And in this fight, he uses an axe. So it seems like he's trying to get a little creative with each one that he goes after.
Yeah, why not?
You know, there's guns, katanas, now an axe. So I think in these sort of close quarters combat with like a, you know, half a dozen guys, this is where some of the art feels a little bit harder to digest, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there's like definitely panels in here where there's like a bunch of people, a bunch of like clothes folds and stuff like that. So you just need to like take a little extra second to figure out what's going on. But I think he does pretty good still overall. And
yeah, it's just like nameless goons and whatnot.
Yeah. I think also just like the criticism of too many of these like head gangster guys is like, I can't really tell the difference between them. Like if you were to show me a picture of Tintin and Tom Tom, I wouldn't be able to tell you who's who.
Yeah.
I just know who they are in the context of the story, you know? Maybe I could tell who the last guy is because he's got a pretty distinct look, but
yeah,
everybody else, you know, kind of blends together for me.
Nathan, I did not expect a Cat in the Hat cameo.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten there yet, but the crow has more memories of Shelley, and he's like, the pain is too much, so he takes a straight razor and he starts like self-harm, and then he draws like the most cursed picture of the Cat in the Hat on the wall with his blood.
Yeah.
And you know, the cat in the hat reference is there because Shelley says that briefly in like one of the flashbacks, but I don't know if that was formative enough of a memory for him to be like, let me draw a Cat in the Hat right now
with blood.
What if he fucked up too? Would he like restart?
Yeah, let me move a couple feet forward.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I really fucked up the mouth, let me just try again.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's pretty cursed. And then there's like another memory of Eric and Shelley fucking in the tub, so that's pretty nice too. Also, if you don't remember that Cat in the Hat thing, because it's not like a big scene necessarily, she just like says it. And I could see how you would forget it if you like take breaks while reading this book. You'd be like, why the fuck did you just draw a Cat in the Hat?
Maybe that's what happened to me.
it's pretty fun. That is the end of book three. So we're going to book four. So there's flashbacks to the day that Shelley and Eric died. And essentially what happened is Eric and Shelley are leaving a picnic that they just had, and on the way back, their car breaks down, and then the gang of all those like five or six people or whatever, they happen to be also on the same street that they were on, saw that they were broken down, and they stop to harass them. When they start to harass Shelley in the car, Eric tries to stop them, and he's shot in the back of the head by T-Bird before T-Bird finishes him off execution style with like another shot to the back of the head. Eric sees the crow spirit right before that second shot happens, telling Eric not to look, but he kind of has no choice but to look because he's paralyzed and he's forced to see Shelley get raped and killed. And this is a pretty, there's some pretty fucked up stuff here.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, like even like one of the dudes, when they're like approaching Shelley, like one of the dudes is like licking the window.
Yeah.
Like trying to get in, I'm like, what a crazy idea.
Yeah.
And there's even a dude that like has his way with Shelly's body after she's like dead and like doesn't even have a head, I don't think. But like she's definitely dead, and he's like, all right, let me get my turn.
Yeah.
And it's like it's pretty dark. So
definitely.
This book definitely gets pretty heavy at those points.
I like that he waited until issue 4 to have this part. Because then, like you're saying, like we learn like a little bit more about it throughout, and then we see like you know what was like the starting point,
yeah, and like I would, it makes sense that he's you know very much wanting to hunt down these guys. So he gets shot in the back of the head once, and it says, and like, so the crow has two different colored eyes, right?
I don't know.
Is that a thing? Did you see that in the movie?
No,
I think he does. Hold on. Let me go back to the beginning.
Like the character or the crow, like the bird?
I think the character does. I could be wrong about that. There's something that said that like when he got shot in the back of the head, it like ruptured his iris.
Oh.
Or something. And like his eye. And I didn't catch that either. But there's like this panel. You can like kind of see it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't really know how that works. I don't know why no bullets go through this dude's head. You know?
Yeah.
It's very strange. So Eric survives this whole thing. He wakes up in a hospital. He's believed to be brain dead, but he starts to ramble about the crow or something that he saw. And he's rushed to the ICU. Later, when Eric is out of the hospital, there's a flashback to Eric and Shelley, like being all cute, saying that they are like everything that they ever wished for and stuff like that. And they do some more fucking under the Christmas lights. But in the present, the crow tapes up his arms with all of the cuts and stuff on them. He does some dancing, and then he burns down his house, his and Shelley's old house. And that's how that issue ends. But I'm not really sure what the significance is of like burning down your house. it's just good property.
Bad memories, know? I guess.
Maybe no one would want it if they're like, the old owners died. But they didn't die in the house, so I don't know.
I mean, yeah, there's like murders that happen in houses and they still get sold. So.
Yeah, true.
I love like this panel of like boots, you know, and just like how detailed they are.
Yeah.
You know, it just looks like very 90s.
He like never half-asses any panels.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Oh, I think he looks fucking sick with like the arm tape.
Yeah.
I think I like the arm wraps. It's super
looks like
cool.
He's like a boxer or something.
Mm-hmm. We see the panel that's on the cover. That's fun. Where he's looking like a frog. And so then we go into book 5. Actually, before we go, there's like a montage sequence of him like burning some of the stuff, getting his guns and like bolts together. And I think that this is just like such a good page, even though like it's like happening, it's just a picture of bullets and like his abs, but he's got like magazines taped to him or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, this shit goes hard. This would be crazy in the movie. So then on to book 5. So the crow visits Sherry, the little girl, and tells her, you know, he's sorry for like her life, but to like keep up hope, you know, keep at it, champ, or whatever. And he's like, I'm going to go see my wife. And Sherry's like, is your wife dead? And he's like, yeah, but I'm going to go see her. And he's like, oh, okay, I get it. So then.
Then Sherry's like, I love you, or love you,
yeah,
or something like that. I'm like, you met like once.
Yeah.
You know,
he's just a weird guy. Like, you shouldn't be talking to him.
Right.
And then he kisses her on the forehead. And I'm like, okay, that's, you know, different context in the 80s. So it's kind of cute. But Captain Hook gets the crow's cat that he has now that his house is burned down.
And Gabriel.
Gabriel Hook. Is that what it is? Yeah.
No, Gabriel's the cat.
Oh, Gabriel's a cat. Apparently, Gabriel is a girl and has kittens, and he just gave that to the police captain.
Yeah.
And he's like, you take care of her now. So that's kind of interesting. So then the crow kills some more gangsters. Funboy goes to the kitchen to like have a fix for his drug, but he's met by the crow, who forces Funboy to take morphine so that he could have a quick and painless death as promised, because he told him where T-Bird's going to be. I don't know why, but it seems a little bit out of character for the crow to like write in blood on the wall, "I know why Jesus wept, motherfucker." Like, something about like that. I mean, it's a really cool panel, but I just like, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, that's pretty hard. That's pretty metal for like this guy, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? Or it didn't seem like he'd be the kind of guy to be like, okay, now let me make like a little scene going on here, you know?
There's a panel just after that where he's going like after T-Bird, and everyone thinks that like he's like a ghost.
Yeah.
Right. Eric. And one of the goons like asks like T-Bird's like, "Do you believe in any of that ghost shit?" Mm-hmm. And then T-Bird's like, "I believe in dope, guns, and broads." That's funny.
It's the most alpha thing that you could say.
Hell yeah.
That's the only thing I believe in. That's my North Star right there.
Yeah.
So the crow goes upstairs and he anticipates the gunfight that was set up. And so he just kind of kills most of those guys anyway, while T-Bird tries to get away in a car. The crow gets on top of the car somehow and he kills the driver through the roof. And then he gets T-Bird to get out, and you know, a bunch more of T-Bird's men show up, and the crow like allows himself to get shot by all of T-Bird's men while he's just like shirtless, and he's like, "Please shoot me." And so they do. And the crow obviously survives, and he kills all of T-Bird's men, just finishing him off. But
there's that bit when he like kills the driver, mm-hmm. his head like explodes and there's like blood all over like the windshield and stuff.
Yeah.
And T-Bird like puts the wipers on, but like
I remember that.
The blood's like on the inside of the car.
That's so, not how that shit works.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, let me get this shit out.
My first thought was like, oh, that would just smear the blood, you know? But I also didn't think like, oh, the blood's on the inside.
It's extra funny because even if the blood was on the outside, it still wouldn't work. You know? So, the fact that it's on the inside and he tries to wipe it, that's a good joke.
It's just like a, like that'd be like your instinct,
yeah.
You know?
Like, ew, get this shit out of here. Yeah. And like his driver, like the top of his head's gone.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And this is the scene where he's getting shot by all the men. This is definitely one of the instances where like there's extra muscles added here.
Yeah.
But like the pose is so like exaggerated. It's like kind of cool.
Yeah. You
know? But yeah, if you had that many riblets, I'd be like, there's something in you. Like, yeah. I don't know. You got to get that checked out.
There's something wrong here.
Yeah. So while he's killing all T-Bird's men, there's also just a dude that he kills by smashing his head into like a brick wall with like one hand. So I think that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he just slams them. So he's just kind of like rocking these dudes.
That's always satisfying.
Yeah. So he's just rocking these guys. T-Bird tries getting away again with the same car with like the dude whose head is still like half blasted off.
Yeah.
But this time the crow has to chase him in a car or his own car. I don't really know how he gets access to a car, but he's like, there's like a car chase. T-Bird crashes. I think it's like in the same spot where his gang killed Shelly. It seems like a similar spot. Maybe I just made that up though.
And he's really good at drawing cars too.
Huh?
He's really good at drawing cars.
Oh yeah. He nails it. What's kind of interesting though, is that the license plate for the car that he uses is Godzilla.
Whoa.
Did you notice that?
Not until just now.
it's just kind of, maybe he likes the Godzilla. I don't know. So yeah, he like, there's a car chase. He manages to get T-Bird to crash, and the crow presumably beats him to death with a hammer, but we don't see that.
He just like approaches him, and then there's a panel with a hammer in his hand.
It like cuts to black.
Yeah.
And it's a little fucked up that we don't see the final kill, I feel like.
I mean, we
know what's going to happen.
It's implied, and we got plenty of violence throughout this whole thing.
But like, he kind of builds it up to be like, oh, I'm going to make T-Bird die slowly.
Yeah,
you know, and then this literally the quickest death because we didn't even see it. Like, it just kind of cuts.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's still some more. Then there's a scene in the crow's head, I think, or his imagination, where he sees the horse in the beginning of the book caught in the barbed wire, and he decides to shoot the horse in the head to like bring it mercy. Then he's picked up by the skeleton or
the skull cowboy. Yeah.
Conductor dude, and he's like, give me your ticket. Or no, he said, nice shot.
Yeah, it seemed like it was like a...
I think it's a metaphor
maybe
for
like... Maybe it's like a purgatory kind of thing.
Yeah, or like, I think he shoots the horse to like let go of this thing that he was hanging on to. And then I think the train just like takes him to the afterlife or something.
Yeah, or it's just kind of like a...
Like now that he's killed the horse.
Symbolism that like the thing that was keeping him on Earth was...
It's has now
been like been taken care
it
of.
It was his decision to like, you know, take care of it.
Yeah.
Can we, how do you make a train this good? Can you just like look at the train for a second and tell me that's not fucking insane?
Yeah, it's like a perfect train.
Because what's crazy is if you look at it like from a distance, like if you were to look at my phone right now, that's a picture of a train.
Yeah.
And then I just zoomed in and I'm like, no, there's like clearly like this is just pencil.
Yeah, it's just bolts.
But it's fucking
all the bolts and like all the different pipes and shit.
Yeah, there's like it's so good because like you see like the panels of steel that like kind of slightly overlap each other a little bit. You can see the bolts on there. Like,
yeah,
it is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been so excited about a train. And it's like not even like the main thing. People are probably looking at the fucking the skull cowboy who does look cool in this.
Yeah,
like a little detail. Is he's blowing smoke out of his skull nose.
Yeah.
Like he's a little choo-choo train himself, you know? So anyway, then there's like a prologue part called Passover.
It's an epilogue.
Epilogue, sorry. You're right. Eric is now at Shelley's gravestone. He sits down and like the crow, but like the bird, the crow leaves him now. And so he's like allowing Eric to finally pass now. And
one thing that was weird in these final pages is that there's just like a picture of a door.
Yeah, I saw that and I'm like, that's a good picture of a door. But why is I think it's showing him like leaving wherever he was hanging out, I guess. But he already burned down his house. So I don't get what a door is.
Yeah. And the fact that it's like a picture and not like a drawing, you know, like that's like a photograph.
It is a photograph, isn't it? Yeah.
And so that was just kind of odd to me. But
do you think if I like went and talked to James O'Barr? And I'm like, why'd you put this door here?
What's with the door?
Like, whose door is that?
Yeah.
Because you burned down your house already. So, like, who leaves the door open? It's like, it looks like an empty house. But anyway. Yeah. So, Eric is, like, finally able to end his own life. But it's kind of nice because he's like, I'm finally able to be with Shelley together forever now.
Yeah.
And I like the scene because it's, like, a lot brighter than the rest of the book. But it's not necessarily a different art style that we were seeing before where it looked like more painted. It's still, you know, the very defined pencil and ink or however he does his process. But now that he's finished the job and he's going to be with his wife, these pages contextualized are a lot brighter. So
yeah.
I think it's he nailed that part. Also, the statue's like moving. Did you notice that?
No, I was just about to say that the statue is really cool.
The statue is cool.
Oh, yeah.
When we first see it, the hand's like near the mouth. And when he's about to kill himself, he's like covering his eyes or something.
That's kind of neat.
And then like maybe this is just a different statue. But when he's dead, the statue's like kneeling down and is sad. So it's kind of trippy.
Well, that statue doesn't have like wings in the other
one. Okay, so that's probably just a different statue. But the statue does like move its hand to like, I guess, look away. But pretty fucking crazy. And that's the end of the book. So let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Damn, we got some more poems.
Yeah, I love it.
You like a poem? You can read a poem here.
Yeah, and they're not like his poems. You know, they're like quotes or something. Yeah, reference.
And so that's cool. We get an afterword about the crow. Some stuff about what the crow means. I think there's a history lesson in there somewhere. I didn't read it all. This is a long book.
But, yeah.
So there's some stuff there. We also get like a special thanks section. And he thanks Joy Division. That's like a band, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they're mentioned a couple times in this back matter.
Yeah. Like, he definitely listened to a lot of stuff that fits kind of like this book.
It's the ambiance.
Depressing
for sure.
Kind of stuff, like The Cure and whatnot.
Yeah, there's like a Joy Division mention of like one of the songs, I think, called Decades. I didn't look into it, but that's one of the ones. Couple just like maybe promo art pages or just like extra pages or panels from the book that are kind of in there as well. And some unique colored pages. Oh, this is where I thought he has different eye colors, because this one where it's like a brown and a blue eye.
Okay.
But that's not in the colored cover, because in the cover he has two of the same colored eyes.
Yeah, it's so like a different drawing.
Maybe I just made that up. But yeah, some cool like neon coloring and stuff. So that's the back matter.
So what do you rate this book, Nathan?
What's the most emo thing you could eat?
Black coffee.
I guess so, right?
I give it a black coffee at like Waffle House at like 2 a.m. and no one's there.
And a cigarette.
And a cigarette. maybe you just had a waffle or something and you're just enjoying your coffee, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they had ice cream. You had a
some
scoop
sad,
ice cream.
Smooth jazz playing.
All right, no, it's like it's all emo music. It's just just Joy Division.
Just Joy Division, yeah. Playing at the Waffle House.
Yeah.
What would I rate this? What's a sad ice cream you could eat? A cookies and cream could be it, because it's like white and black.
It's not very sad, though.
Not very sad. I do love cookies and cream. So maybe like a...
like a melted vanilla. Or like, yeah, like a little butterscotch. I don't know.
No. I mean, I don't know if I'm crazy about like the overall story of it, because like we never really figure out why he was chosen to be the crow or like what that was. You don't necessarily need it.
Yeah.
But like there's kind of the aspect of it missing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably something that's more explored in like the later stuff.
Yeah.
But
I would give this that, you know, that like one chip challenge.
Yeah.
It's like a black Dorito looking thing. Probably give it that.
Okay.
Because it's pretty metal.
Spicy.
Something spicy, yeah. Because this book is pretty spicy. There's a lot of sex in it.
Yeah,
that's what I'll rate it.
Cool.
But like, yeah, pretty good overall. Insane black and white art. Like, it's kind of unbelievable he's able to produce that kind of art 40 years ago now?
30.
30-ish?
30-ish.
That's insane. Because if I saw that now, I'd be like, this guy's the best.
Yeah, I was worried. I was worried you wouldn't like this very much because you had like no context for it.
I didn't.
And it's just sometimes getting into 80s books, especially like an indie 80s book, might be like kind of tough.
Yeah,
and translate to like someone new to it.
Yeah,
but it seems like you liked it quite a bit, even if it was like just for the art,
mm-hmm.
which I'm glad of. I thought it might have been like a drag for you.
No, that art carries for sure.
Yeah,
just nice like silent pages in there, which I think is cool, especially if it's like a long book like this
and not like very dense, which is a nice touch.
This doesn't feel like a Watchmen read, you know?
Right.
It feels like a lot nicer.
Yeah.
So
let's get in the pull list. Colon,
shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
So we're recording this episode early, so I wrote down some books that I'm going to get and then some books I think you're going to get.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, because I didn't look.
Yeah. So there's DC versus Vampires World War V, number one.
Yep. I'll probably check that out, yeah.
There's Barfly, number two.
Ooh, I still got to read number one.
There's Into the Unbeing, number three.
Okay. Yeah. I still need to read number two to decide if I'm going to read it. But yeah, I think I'm going to pick it up.
We got Precious Metal, number three.
Oh, my God.
Yes, sir. Ash got...
this is the week we're going to be out?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Ash got a copy of number one. And
Precious Metal?
Yeah.
Nice.
And so I snagged that.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it had any reprints, so I'm pretty sure it's a first.
Nice.
There's the Domain, number two.
Mm-hmm.
The Public... Domain
Chip
spinoff.
Zdarsky's Public Domain spinoff, yeah.
Transformers, number 11.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's X Factor, number one.
That came out today.
I think you're thinking of X Force.
Ooh, you're right.
X Factor is the Mark Russell one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to pick up X Force, and I looked at the team, and I was like, I don't care about this.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's Ultraman X Avengers, number one.
Who's on that?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
So
I probably won't pick that up though.
Yeah, good stuff. You said that you read some stuff.
I did read some stuff.
Let's hear it.
I read the new TMNT number one.
Ooh.
With Jason Aaron and Joel Jones was on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just this is a good first issue.
Nice.
It kind of drops you in the middle of a situation where it's like, okay, I wonder how we got here.
Yeah.
But they're doing a thing where the first couple of issues are kind of focusing on a different turtle in this particular situation. I'm just going to spoil what the situation is. But before I do, I got to say, Joel Jones's art fits so well with turtles.
Really?
Like, it doesn't look like it does with her Batman or Catwoman or Lady Killer. Like, there's not that like heavy inking kind of style.
Okay.
It's because her style kind of feels like a little Allred-y.
Yeah.
I would say like Michael Allred. This, if I saw this art, I would never guess that this was like Joel Jones.
Nice.
So she's pretty malleable when it comes to like her art style, but she does draw a kick-ass turtle and some kick-ass turtle fights.
Sweet.
But the concept of the story is that this one focuses on Raphael first. I think the next one's Michelangelo.
Okay.
But Raphael's like in prison, like a regular human prison. There's no like other mutants there.
There's no turtle prison?
There's no turtle prison, I guess. Not enough to fill them out. And so naturally he's like kind of alone because there's like a bunch of humans and like a turtle rocking around. He still has the red mask on, which I think is funny, but they let him keep that. But he didn't get arrested. He was planted there by the jail warden to keep an eye on stuff that's going on there, like criminally.
Okay.
And so he like stops. He's like in prison, but he stops some people like digging a tunnel into the sewers and like escaping. And they give like little hints about like why the turtles are kind of split up right now, but you don't know the full story yet. But basically the warden that he's working with gets killed by the Foot Clan, and it's framed that Raphael was the one that did it.
Okay.
And the warden was the only one that knew that he's like wasn't actually arrested, and so now he's just like in prison for real. Huh. And he has to like figure out how to get out. And I was like, this is a cool little like, you know, interesting idea.
Yeah.
And so I'm liking it like a lot.
Nice.
I was like a little iffy on if I would, because not every Turtles project has really grabbed me, but this feels like the kind of like almost grittiness that I kind of want to see in like a Turtles book right now. So
nice. Yeah.
I'm excited.
And kind of what you do expect from like Jason Aaron.
Yeah. I think Jason Aaron has a good fit for, you know, if they wanted to do like a Turtles direction that was more noir gritty, I guess, then this is the one.
Sweet.
So that was pretty cool. And then I also read the second issue of Zatanna.
Oh, yeah.
Bring Down the House.
Still good?
It's still really good.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, I just think, like, the art style alone, like, he does so many creative things with the page. And there's, like, a good little mystery kind of going on the whole time about something that, like, Zatanna did in her past that caused her, like, swear off kind of using magic.
Hmm.
And then you find out a little bit more about what that was. Something with Zatara, it's really good.
So
there's like demons that she's fighting in this.
So it's a Zatanna book with no magic?
There's magic that's going on around her.
Mm.
And she's like, I don't really do magic anymore, but she has to do magic to like fight off a demon.
Okay.
And the person that was using magic, who was trying to get her to use magic, was like, see, you do know magic.
Yeah.
There's something going on here. And then she gets taken to like this almost like Illuminati of magic users. And like the special dimension called like the casters or something like that.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting, actually. There's like new characters in here that I think are kind of cool. The demon designs are like really, really cool looking and creative as well. So I'm enjoying it quite a bit. It's like kind of funny. There's like a humor aspect as well. I think it's really strong, actually.
Sweet. Is that supposed to be limited?
Yeah, I think it's like 5 okay. or 6. It seems like so.
Did you watch anything new?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I watched The Crow.
Yeah.
From 1994. This movie feels like a 90s movie.
Okay.
It's cool because it kind of feels, it's like a movie that just looks and feels like a 90s rock music video, which is kind of fun. It's got like a really...
What band would it be for? Like Creed or something?
Maybe like Creed.
Okay.
So they change a lot of stuff, and I think a lot of it is for like the better, just to kind of make it a little more coherent.
Mm-hmm.
Like Eric, he like rises from like a grave, like he was like buried,
and that makes then sense.
He comes up like a year later. And this is like kind of like a low budget kind of movie,
mm-hmm.
to where like a lot of the special effects look kind of 90s, like old, sure. You know, so not super updated stuff. Ernie Hudson is in this. He plays like the cop.
I don't know who that is.
He's like the black guy from Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's like in this like a lot. Like he interacts like a lot.
Is he the captain?
He's not Hook. He's like the other guy.
He's Albrecht?
Albrecht, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I felt like the casting for like the goons in this were like good. You know, like all the different characters that
couple
were,
bald guys.
A couple bald guys, people with long hair and stuff that look like junkies.
Yeah.
They set it up to where like Top Dollar is like the kingpin of it all. And he's
a much better name.
Yeah.
For a top guy.
Yeah. He's like kind of killing people and then getting to Top Dollar.
Mm.
And so the Sherry character, her name's Sarah in this. Mm-hmm. And Sarah was kind of being taken care of by like Eric and Shelley. Like they're like guardians in like a way. Okay.
Before Shelley dies?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she's like a part of their lives.
Yeah, like prior, a daughter.
Kind of, yeah. And there's a lot of symbolism like with this, or like I guess like he just paints like a crow logo with like blood on like a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
He'll like take like gasoline and like paint out like a crow and like light it on fire. And he'll do like a crow logo on like someone's chest in blood.
Love that.
And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He pulls a lot of Batmans, you know. He'll like people like look away and then look back and then he'll be gone, you know. So nice. It's kind of fun. There's this weird thing. So Albrecht, he was like there and Shelley was still kind of like hanging on, and
okay,
the crow, he's able to just kind of like grab his head and like feel his memories.
Hmm.
You know, I'm like, okay,
that's Albrecht's
like Albrecht's memories of really? Like when Shelley was like kind of like suffering or like,
okay, so he's a little bit more spiritual, I guess, in this. When he comes back as the crow. Okay.
Yeah. And they gave kind of like a reasoning for like the killing. So they lived in like this loft in this like building.
Mm-hmm.
It has this big like circle window, and they like throw Eric out the window in like the kill. And the reason why they were sent up there is because Top Dollar like owned the building or whatever, and he was raising like the rent for everybody.
Mm.
And Shelley had like a petition for like everyone to sign.
Mm.
And I guess Top Dollar didn't like that, so he's like, let's kill these people.
Okay. So more of a reason rather than just like a random happenstance.
Right, yeah. They added that Eric is like a musician and he like plays guitar.
Let's go. That's awesome.
And so he's like playing guitar on like a rainy rooftop.
And he's like so that. Sad.
Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, this is just like a goth kid's like favorite movie, you know, because he's just wearing makeup and wearing all black and playing guitar and shit.
Yeah. It's what you think you look like when you're in the backseat of a car and it's raining outside and you're looking out the window.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I would have loved this movie in like middle school.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. We had such a good emo phase, both of us.
I know. Still in it.
It's not a phase.
Yeah. Towards the end of the movie, like Top Dollar like takes Sarah, the little girl, and like kind of lures him to like a church.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his goons like made the connection that the crow is like why he has his powers. And so they shoot the crow and then he's no longer like immortal.
Whoa.
Or whatever. Yeah.
They figured out that the guy painting a bunch of crows everywhere
is connected to the crow. Yeah. And that's why he's like invincible or whatever.
Man, he should have done like a random animal, like a
piggy.
Get the pig. Yeah, exactly.
Kill the mini pig or whatever. Yeah. And there's this like fight scene on top of this church where it's all raining and stuff, and the way he like stops Top Dollar is like he grabs his head and transfers like those traumatic memories that he got from Albrecht.
Mm.
And then he just falls off the building.
Love that.
Yeah. And he falls on like a very pointy gargoyle or something.
You know, still a better final kill than what we saw in this book.
Yeah, we actually got a kill. Because
we got a kill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Question:
what
physique? Pretty good.
Yeah, incredible.
Does he do ballet?
No ballet.
No ballet, just playing guitar?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Skull Conduct, is there a Skull Cowboy?
Okay, so before he goes into the church to follow, so Top Dollar wasn't one of the goons that like killed him. Mm-hmm. So he'd killed everybody up to this point.
Yeah.
And he finds out that Sarah is like in trouble and he goes into this church.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a deleted scene that you can just look up on YouTube to where he is stopped from going to the church by the Skull Cowboy.
Ooh.
Looks pretty cool, actually. It's just kind of like a rough cut kind of thing.
Right.
And the Skull Cowboy is like, you don't like need to go in there. Like, you got them all. You know, like your purpose for the second life has been like fulfilled.
But he doesn't kill Top Dollar, right? Or right. He hasn't killed Top Dollar at this point?
He hasn't killed Top Dollar.
Isn't Top Dollar the one that like ordered them to do that?
Ordered it, yeah. Okay. So he does it anyway, even though.
I can see why they would cut that out. But yeah, it would have been cool to.
And it would have been. And they were planning on having the Skull Cowboy in there a couple times, like three scenes, but they like cut them all.
Damn.
Because like they were planning on doing that like at the end of shooting.
Yeah.
But then there's like the tragedy that Brandon Lee got killed during the filming of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then his stunt double like filled in like the scenes that he couldn't finish.
Gotcha.
But I guess they put his face on it because I don't know where the scenes were necessarily.
Okay.
His stunt double is Chad Stahelski,
mm-hmm.
who is like the director of like the John Wick movies.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Because he was like a stunt double, a stunt man. Like Damn. Before that, he does like stunts on all kinds of movies.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm like, that's such a.
Does he do crazy... all the John Wick movies?
I think so.
That's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they fuck like rabbits? Eric and Shelley.
No, it was just kind of her like in like a wedding dress here and there. And then just her in like a dress. A
lot more nice.
Yeah, they had like flashbacks like throughout, like kind of like the book and stuff like that. But yeah, really good movie. I thought it was awesome.
Is it black and white?
No, it's got color.
Lame.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But I could definitely see how something could possibly go wrong in like a low budget movie with like a lot of shooting.
Is that how he was killed?
I don't know specifically. There's like a lot of like conspiracy theories and they didn't really like go too deep into
interesting
how it happened, so no one really knows, but there's like the scene where he like goes to Top Dollar in like that meeting room and there's like 20 goons and there's a scene where it's just like 20 different guns just going off and stuff like that. I'm like, maybe it was that one.
Damn, are there a bunch of cats randomly around?
No, I just remember Gabriel.
Okay,
so they kept him in there. And yeah, the crow in this, he's kind of like always with him, like on his shoulder and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the crow's only in there a couple times in the book. But yeah,
yeah,
good movie. It's kind of like a cult classic.
Is that the one? That's like the one that people like, right? There's not like another one that came out where people like this fucking rules too, or?
Yeah, no. Maybe like super fans like the follow-ups, but no, this is like the main one.
Nice.
And so that's the last... Cool. thing, S Crow thing that came out was like in 99 or something. So this new Crow movie is just a kind of a retelling of the first movie that is this book's based off of.
Do you think he'll be a good Crow?
Probably.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think it looks cool to me.
Yeah, he's kind of skinny ripped, just like how Eric is in the book.
I don't know. Bill Skarsgård looks kind of big in some shots. I'm like, where he's like, looks like wide.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, that's awesome. Cool. So I'll definitely check that out.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
So it's an open week. We can do whatever we want here.
Okay.
We could do an Eisner winner if you want.
We could.
Or we can just do whatever the fuck.
Let's look at the Eisner winners because we haven't read an Eisner winning book this year, right?
Yeah.
Because we fucked up. What would we do? We could do Transformers.
We're going to read that in like a couple weeks for the Transformers movie.
That's true.
I think it's really just Somna.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like reading that.
Okay.
Like, congratulations to Becky Cloonan.
Yep.
And the other person on that, but I was thinking maybe like
I think we should do
Little Bird.
Little Bird might be good. I kind of want to do Quantum and Woody.
Okay. Quantum Woody. You have to verify which one.
Yeah, I'll send you which one. But, okay. You know, first Valiant book we've ever done, you know, so it'll be like one of my favorite runs from the relaunch of Valiant. So that'd be pretty cool. So, yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. Quantum and Woody. Sounds good.
If you don't know what that is,
bit of a chaser book.
You tune in next week. Yeah, definitely a chaser book. So,
all right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Mm-hmm. We got our link tree in the bio. Go like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that. Tell us what you know about the Crow.
Yeah. Subscribe if you're a Crow bro.
Yeah. Emails at traverspod@gmail.com. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.